Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations with Cynthia Hyatt, professional psychotherapist and relationship expert. In private practice for over 20 years, Cynthia specializes in teaching individuals, groups, and organizations about how to be successful in relationships, how to handle the variety of differences each gender brings, and ultimately, how to be your own best version. With a dynamic and enthusiastic approach, Cynthia helps each person understand how temperament and gender affects every relationship and inspires her audiences to become all God created them to be. With this understanding, she shares practical tools, resources, and wisdom to guide each person to a transformational understanding of themselves and others. You can find Cynthia on the web at CynthiaHyatt.com and on social media under Cynthia Hyatt Inc. for current events, updates, and inspiration during your week. And now, here's Cynthia.
Well, thank you for joining me today. This is Cynthia Hyatt with Conversations with Cynthia. And as always, I'm glad that you joined in today. I have a neat show that I like, if I can use that word. I really think this will be a blessing, and I think it's necessary in terms of our culture today. And this show is entitled, Stop Trying So Hard. You are already worth more than you think. And I'm sure that that resonates with you. It certainly resonates with me. And I just want you to ask yourself, you know, have you ever felt less than or not enough? And do you feel as if you never meet the expectations of those around you, or are you constantly striving and exhausted, always living the, you know, if only then way, or if you only achieve success, if I only got that promotion, if I just reached that goal weight, found a spouse, boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever, then I'd be valued, then I'd be worthy, then I'd be good enough. And you're probably saying, are you kidding? You know, of course I think those thoughts. Well, you know, we all think those to some degree or another, at one time or another. And usually most of us are thinking it quite frequently. And so I really wanted to take time today to really talk about this whole idea of our value and our worth, and this idea that we somehow can increase or decrease our value, that we have to work for it or strive to make it happen by doing something outside of ourselves, by acquiring something or knowing a certain person or going to a certain church or working at a certain place. You know, maybe it's having a certain type of car or clothing or jewelry or handbag or where we live. Whatever it is that we think, if we just got that, then we would be worthwhile. Then we'd be one of those people, you know, whoever those people are. And so I think it's really timely for us to really dive into this and really look at this. Because when we fall into this trap, it steals everything authentic about us. And there isn't anything about it that emanates from God. And so before we totally launch into this, I want you to know that this is also now on the blog page, on Conversations with Cynthia, that blog page. So if you like the show and like to listen to it, you now can also read about it as well. So I think that will be helpful. And there are a couple of blogs there that we've done shows on as well. So anyways, back to this whole idea of trying to increase our value in some manner or shape. So I want you to know that, you know, these types of thoughts certainly haunted me throughout most of my adolescence and a young adult life. And being adopted, I always had this feeling that I wasn't good enough and that I had to prove that I was worthy of love and acceptance. And yet all this striving and trying to be, quote-unquote, enough, all this striving on my own led me absolutely nowhere. I mean, I was on this spinning wheel of trying to measure up to the world system of valuing performance-oriented behavior. And that system, you know, is what requires that you show people who you are and what you can do in order to convince them that you are of some kind of value. And certainly in some ways this is the American way, but it also is just inherent in our world system since the fall, that we somehow, Adam and Eve, lost their value when they sinned and left the garden, and we've been trying to work to get it back. And the whole idea of Jesus is that he shows up and dies for us and lays his life down for us so that he can be in relationship with us forever. And the whole message of that is You have never lost your value. You are of intense value to me. You know, you are invaluable to me. And so what we want to think about is this idea that I have to have the right kind of job, or I have to look a certain way, I have to drive the right kind of car, I have to build the illusion that I have it all together somehow. It's very deceptive because, you know, for a while you feel as if you're successful and valued on the outside, and you feed on all the accolades and the compliments and the measuring sticks of your success, but it's never enough. You know, in truth, this what we call performance-oriented behavior is a trap that keeps genuine fulfillment out of reach. And when I say this term, performance-oriented behavior, this is kind of a clinical term, and it emanates from the work that Dr. Robert McGee did in his book. And so if you're interested in some of this, you'll find it in his book. And this particular idea of performance-oriented behavior, he came up with not an algorithm, but what happens is when we say to ourselves, okay, my worth, my value equals my performance and other people's opinions. So that little mathematical, you know, issue there says my worth, my value, and how good I am is measured or is established by what you think about me and how well I perform. And what we find is that no matter how much we experience outward success, inwardly it creates more anxiety. So I experienced some of that outward success in my younger years, but I struggled with stress and disillusionment because all the fruits of my performance-oriented behavior, that though nicely dressed with all kinds of trappings of success, it really was not fulfilling. And I was really left feeling more driven by anxiety and compulsion. And I felt immeasurably worse off than when I began. And I felt very lost and very far away from my purpose. Because the reason that performance-oriented behavior is so what we could say addicting is that I get rewarded often enough that I keep thinking it might actually work. So I keep thinking that if I just work harder, I might actually get that feeling of value, of worth, that I somehow matter, I somehow measure up now. Now I've arrived. And what happened to me is I'd finally reached the end of my own abilities. I stepped off the spinning wheel and took one step back to God. And after running from him for so long, I really did give him back my life. And I wasn't sure, you know, how much it was worth at that point, because it was pretty messed up and very imperfect, and I felt very small, very messy, very unworthy, because I pretty much messed up my life. And, you know, whatever degree of my life being messed up might be not messed up to somebody else, or it might be really messed up. What I want you to think about is it's not about the outward consequences of how messed up things might seem or might feel. It's about coming to the end of myself and realizing that no matter how hard I work, no matter how hard I try, I cannot increase my worth and value. And I can never get that feeling of being okay by all of my behaviors. Because every time I depend on the external world, every time I do that equation, that mathematical equation of, you know, my worth and value is equaled by your opinion of me and my performance, it means that every morning I wake up and it's subjective. I could have gone to bed feeling super successful. I wake up the next morning and I might mess up before I ever get out of bed. I might do really well until I get to work and find out someone's disappointed in me. Or I missed something. Or I made a mistake. And all of a sudden, I'm back to zero. So what I want you to think about is that when I realized that I was of enormous value to God and it had nothing to do with my performance, that everything changed, because it turned my world upside down. As I began to comprehend that my value came from the fact that he chose to create me. He thought about me. He thought me up, and he chose to create me the same way as he thought about you. He had an idea of you, and then he created you. And we see that in Psalms 139, where David beautifully depicts this, you know, God's ever-present interest in us. He searches us out. He knows us. He sees every action and lovingly created our innermost beings. He chose us. And David exclaims that in Psalms 136 when he says, that such knowledge is too wonderful for me. We are incredibly loved and valued. He says, he knew me before I was formed. He created me in my mother's womb. How beautifully and wonderfully made I am. So when you understand that we can't decrease our value, we might decrease our effectiveness, we might decrease how much we enjoy ourselves or others enjoy us, but we cannot decrease our value. So choice is one of the biggest components when it comes to love. See, it's easy to feel love, but it's another thing entirely to choose to love somebody. And from love comes the subsequent value of being valued by someone. And so when God thought about us, he wanted us. He chose us, and he acted upon that choice. There's great value in this understanding, because the valuing of something is always indicative of the effort, the time, and sacrifice, the price applied, the belonging to, and the determination to be sought out and acquired. That's what determines value, effort and price. So God thought about you. He chose you and wanted you. So just let that sink in for a moment. I want you to really think about that. That God's thought about you. You are his creation. He is an artist and he created you. He chose you and he wanted you. And yet there's even a greater truth about his love. And that is, we have guaranteed value to him. See, that value cannot be earned or revoked. And the words guaranteed and value touch on the idea that humans have two very important emotional and psychological needs. Number one, to feel that they are important, special, that they have worth. Value, that's what that is. Important, and they're special, and they have worth. They're worth something to somebody. Number two, to be able to depend on those feelings as true. And that is guaranteed. That's security. So when I can depend on the fact that God tells me he loves me, tells me he wants me, tells me that I'm valuable to him, it's guaranteed. He's saying, I guarantee that. I put my stamp of approval on that thought. So this is why God reiterates over and over again throughout the Bible how very valuable we are. That we have great worth, and furthermore, we can believe this with complete confidence. Now, on the contrary, our world establishes value based on what you do, who you know, how you look, what you own, how much money you have, and what value that, and what happens is that value fluctuates just as easily as the stock market changes from day to day. See, God's economy doesn't work that way. He created us and knew before the beginning of time what his purpose was, what he had for us. And he was willing to put in the effort to bring his vision to completion, to commit to the process, to know there was a diamond in the rough of great value. See, he's not depending on us to ensure our own value. The creator, the purchaser, the committed one, determines the value of the object. And I see this in Philippians 1:6 when it says, he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. And that's, you know, that's in the NIV version. So when he thought us and bought us, he knew what he was getting into. I mean, what a relief. We can relax and simply follow him and trust that he will complete the good work in us. Which is, I really want you to just hesitate for a minute that what God is doing is he's saying, he's not fixing us up to make us valuable. He's fixing us up because we are so valuable. So I'm going to say that again. He is not fixing us up to make us valuable or more valuable. He's fixing us up because we are so valuable. That's why he's putting time and effort into us. So as we begin to fully understand who establishes our value, our God and Creator, we know that nothing else matters as far as our true value is concerned. Our value is intrinsic. It does not come from anything we can do or create. It originates from our Creator, and we are made in the image of God, which instills value in and of itself. See, when I understand that He establishes value, and that's my true value, and it cannot be altered, it doesn't mean that I always act in ways I'm proud of, or that I don't always feel good about all that I do. What it means is that I'm not trying to establish value from what I do. So I want you to think about this analogy, and you may have heard me use this before. It's the analogy of a $100 bill. So if I were to give you a crumpled up $100 bill, would you still take it? Of course, right? Well, what if I gave you a $100 bill that had been in the parking lot, it was stepped on, it was stuck with chewing gum? So would you still see the value in it? Well, what if that same $100 bill was in a dumpster? You know, would you search for it? I mean, but, you know, I picture myself like if I lift up that big lid in the dumpster and like there's all that smell in there, but there's a $100 bill down there. Well, I would try to figure out how to get that $100 bill out of there because it's still $100. So no matter where the $100 bill has been, no matter what filth it has on it, no matter how many times it's been crumpled up, it's still worth $100. So whether that $100 bill was used at a strip club or to buy, you know, drugs, and then it turned around and was put in the offering plate at your church, it's still $100. So nobody distinguishes, you know, it's like the person that used it for offering, it doesn't mean it gets turned down at the strip club, and at the strip club being put into the offering plate, it's still worth $100. So it's important for us to understand that the same is true of our value in God. Like the $100 bill, we cannot do anything to decrease or increase our own value. We have guaranteed value because God values us. It does not depend on us. Let's say it again. We can rest and depend on the fact that He values us, therefore we are valuable. It is guaranteed. So it doesn't matter what you've been used for. It doesn't matter where you have been. It doesn't matter how crumpled up, stepped on, ripped up you are. It doesn't matter what's been done to you. It has nothing to do with your value. So though we sin, right, our mistakes and our blunders are seen through the eyes of love, attachment, and belonging. See, our sin, the grievous to God, because He knows its consequences, is not reflective of our value or our own authenticity or why we were made. Think of the $100 bill again. Even if it had been used, like we said, to purchase drugs or some other nefarious purpose, that transaction doesn't devalue the $100 bill. It's simply not being used for its highest, greatest good. It's the same with us and our value when we stumble. Our sin does not affect our value or His love for us. It only increases His sorrow and our consequences, our hardship. So if you ever question your value, and we know we all do, please know that at your worst, Christ died for you. Before you even knew you needed Him, before you even knew He wanted you, He valued you. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Even when we were nothing, in the terms of the world's version of value, we were valued by our Creator. Before the world ever saw our value or acknowledged our worth, we were valued. Before we even knew Him, He valued us beyond measure. We were valued just as a sunken treasure or searching for a gold mine. He knew and knows our worth and works relentlessly to show our true value. That's powerful. He knew and knows our worth, and He works relentlessly to show our true value. It says Romans 5:8 relates, "Even when we were at our worst with absolutely nothing to offer of value, Christ died for us." I mean, wow, that's amazing. This truth about guaranteed value is revolutionary and so countercultural, because it's utterly inconceivable to our human minds that someone would love us in that state. But to die for us? That's unimaginable. I mean, even in our darkest hour, even when we feel like we have absolutely nothing to offer Him, God scoops us up and calls us valued. What he did for me, he took all my plans, all my missteps, all my striving, and he redeemed me with his love. He showed me that I was his child, bought and paid for with the sacrifice of his son. I didn't need to do anything to earn his love. Because I was his child, I had intrinsic value. And it's very powerful to understand this. I mean, think about, you know, if you went to the funeral of the fallen police officer or firefighter that died because they were saving you, how you might feel toward that human that saved you and that you're now walking around living because of that human. That's exactly what Jesus did, because he thought your life was so valuable, because who you are is so valuable that he died. He wants to be with you forever. He wants to be in relationship with you forever. And when I thought about that, when I thought, somebody wants to live with me forever, someone never wants to be separate from me. I mean, I don't know about you, but that is kind of inconceivable. I can't imagine somebody wanting to live with me forever or wanting to never be separate from me. So I think it's amazing to think that God died such a death because somehow I was that valuable to him that he didn't want to be separate from me, and he wanted to be with me forever. That's an amazing concept. It's very heady. I don't know how to take that in. But what I found out, what I understand, is that God was and is enough, and that I was and I am good enough. Now, please hear me on a theological level. I am not saying that in my own right I'm good enough to get to heaven. What I'm saying is that I realize that with Jesus, accepting his life as a sacrifice for me, that to God, I was and I am good enough, and he is working on doing the best. He's working through me to get the best. He knows that my efforts are not going to ever be really indicative of my true value. I don't have the ability to bring out my true value. Only the Holy Spirit does. So God wants us to move the knowledge of his love for us from our heads to our hearts so that we assimilate it into our identity. If the intellectual truth becomes integrated into our hearts, then we can access it. We can access it now. It makes sense. When it comes to my value, I need to accept it the same way I accept that Christ died for me, that Jesus is who he says he is. This is not easy. However, we as Christians can accept that Jesus is the Son of God, that he rose from the dead, he resides in heaven, and he lives in our hearts. Yet we can still struggle with believing we are valuable. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's kind of a leap of faith to think that there's Jesus, the Son of God, that lives in my heart, that truly was a man, lived 2,000 years ago, rose from the dead, and he's among us, but we can't really see him. But he's God. I mean, those are big things to believe. And yet somehow it's harder for me to believe that I'm valuable. So we must accept that we are sinners who are highly valued by God and in need of a Savior. And it doesn't get any easier than that. We're sinners. We're not who we need to be. Sin has infected us. And it has nothing to do with our value. The same way as if you've ever been around someone that is fighting for their life from cancer. Just because they're infected with cancer has nothing to do with how valuable they are to you. All you want them to do is get better. All you want to do is have them healed. So what we need to realize about this being valued by God is that we need to realize and accept this fact. I cannot regain what I have not lost. See, the enemy wants to mess with truth. That's always his MO. If he can get me to let go of an absolute truth, then he knows that my thought life, my emotional life, my spiritual life is going to become very chaotic. So if he can get me to believe that I can lose value, then he ushers in a world of works behavior, of striving, of anxiety, of fear, of condemnation. So what God is wanting you to know is you can't regain what you haven't lost. You don't have the ability to lose your value. There's nothing you can do about it. The same way that we sterilize the needle of serial killers that are being executed, that we still value their life, even though we are dealing with the heinous consequences of their sin. So we can certainly feel devalued because of our behaviors, but our value to God cannot be altered. So regardless of how unlovely, how unworthy, how unvaluable we feel, we must respond to the truth of God, who says we are highly valued and very precious in his sight. We must believe and internalize this truth about God's guaranteed value of us, that regardless of our sin or our failures or feelings of unworthiness, feelings should not be indicators of our value. I like to say it like this when I talk to clients. I say, you know, feelings are very real, but not always true. So we can feel sick, but find out we're really not. We don't really have the flu. Those of us that are women in America, we can feel really fat. It might not be true. We can be overweight. We can be underweight. Every American woman has a tendency to feel fat. So we have to understand that, like when I'm dealing with anorexics in my office, they feel so fat, it feels so true to them that they're going to starve to death. So that feeling can be very real, but it doesn't make it true. So that insight revolutionized my life. When I feel condemnation, false guilt, toxic shame, I need to remember the scripture that Jesus says in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that God will never condemn his children. He corrects, he chastises, he disciplines, but he never causes any child of his to feel despondent, alone, gross, unlovable, unwanted, or beyond help. That's the enemy. The conviction of the scripture always produces life, not death or darkness. So when the enemy wants to devalue your existence by pointing out all of your sins and shortcomings, you need to refute it with the truth that you are so highly valued that God himself died in your place. And that is the truth. You have to remember that the only time the enemy uses the truth about your sin, the only reason he does that is to lie to you about your worth. He may be telling you the truth about your sin, but it's only to lie to you about your worth and your value. So when we let go of lies and the feelings of not being good enough and embrace the truth of God's value for us and our redemption through Jesus Christ, we take a step toward living in his abundant grace. So I encourage you to take this step of faith today, just like I did, believing the one who created you and values you, allowing God to scoop you up and call you valued one. Accept that he values you regardless of your behavior. Accept that God values you even if you don't feel it or comprehend it. Remember, even when we didn't belong to him or choose him, he loved us and died for us all. This is the proof of our inherent value. It's guaranteed, and on that you can depend. So I want to end with this verse in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10, and it says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So just know that God is not increasing your value. He is expressing and exposing your value to the world. Because he loves you, and he died for you, and he wants you to operate out of the abundance of security and love and truth, that you are valued beyond measure, that you could never comprehend your own value, and that you are just to simply trust and believe and understand that when you do and you allow for that feeling of security, good behaviors are much easier to do. So I pray you have a good week, and I'm glad you joined in today. I'll talk to you soon. God bless you.